All right, so Twitter has added a new feature. They're also going the route of stories. Joining us on the line to discuss this, we have tech journal Kyle Venktes. Kyle, we thank you for your time. A very good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Morning. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Why did Twitter decide to go this route? Was it because it was so popular on Snapchat and Instagram?
Look, you'll see that in efforts to be relevant to users, social networks have the tendency to copy features or replicate features, even at some points in time, offering features that are generally sort of features that users would find on other social networks. Because, for example, if you're on Facebook and you come across something like a story and that's something you want to use, but your preferred social network is actually Twitter, then now Twitter is obviously now offering you a story that in the same way that Facebook would offer that to you as well. In efforts to remain relevant, to keep our users active, and give them somewhat of a new offering.
Was it really necessary, though, Kyle? I mean, people use different social media networks differently. The kind of content and interaction that you would find on Twitter is very different to that of Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram. Each one is unique in terms of how users conduct themselves on the platform. Did Twitter really need a stories feature?
Well, look at it like this. Let's just put it in this context. Ever since this feature has been launched, users have been sparked by this curiosity of what it means, what it can do, how they can use it on Twitter. So it's actually kind of slowed down the Twitter servers because of the curiosity and usage from users. So that means that obviously there is somewhat of a demand for it. Obviously, Twitter is one of the social networks that is very, very big in South Africa. That being said, I mean, it offers local users now the opportunity to make use of the platform in a different kind of way. So it's just about the offering and being relevant to users.
Does it not run the risk, though, of the different platforms then becoming very similar? For those who use, you know, the multiple platforms, Twitter is seen as a bit more of a serious medium where there's news, views, and that kind of interaction. Facebook is more social. Instagram is more visual-driven. When these different platforms start copying the features of each other, there may be that initial positive reaction like you've just described.
Yes.
But isn't there this risk in the long term they all become very similar, that the variety goes away, the diversity goes away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's something that's obviously unavoidable. As social networks progress, as new features are added, people tend to look at them as being such similar features and saying, okay, well, for example, when it came to stories, we saw stories first on Instagram, they made their way to Facebook, and I think it also boils down to the user preference and saying the user, well, user wants to make use of a story feature, but like I mentioned previously, their preferred social network is not Facebook or Instagram for that matter. It's actually Twitter. So now they have the opportunity to make use of that feature, and it keeps them more active on the platform and utilizing it in a different kind of way.
In other news, Apple had to pay $113 million after admitting to slowing down old iPhones and iPads. What's the story there? Were they doing this intentionally to get people to then purchase new ones?
Well, look, there was speculation around this topic for many years. And yes, this is actually found to be true, that older iPhones are obviously being slowed down with updates that are fed to devices. And I mean, it's not really going to impact you unless you have one of those one of the older models of iPhone that you're making use of currently.
Finally, what new phones are coming out towards year end that we can look forward to?
Well, look, users in South Africa are already very spoiled for choice. There have been a number of great smartphones that have been released this year, which we saw new contenders coming into the market and making aggressive pushes to consumers locally. Among those, we're looking at brands like Oppo and Vivo, for example. They've been quite active in marketing their new devices to South Africans, but not forgetting those brands and devices we've become so used to and accustomed to, the likes of your Samsung Note series. That was the latest Note was launched recently, and then we also saw the Huawei Mate 40, the rival of the Samsung Note, also being released. So just in time for Christmas, just in time to get those in the market for a new smartphone quite excited around what kinds of offerings they can get from smartphones that are on the market today. But let's not forget that within the next few months, obviously we saw that the world's biggest smartphone gathering, Mobile World Congress, was halted this year because of COVID-19. Normally this event is something that takes place in February, and we see a whole lot of big manufacturers launching your top high-end smartphones to users around the world. At this gathering, which would be meant to take place next year, we will see the next generation of new flagship smartphones being released into the market. And if the event doesn't take place, I think smartphone manufacturers may copy what they've done this year and release their devices to the market at live events online.
Yeah. Kyle, as always, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.